Hello and welcome everyone. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo and we are here for our bioenergetics module. And bioenergetics is kind of a fun topic and a lot of people think of it as the woo-woo medicine stuff. And in fact, you know, maybe it is considered that by Western medicine, but in fact some of the things I'm going to talk about today in relationship to bioenergetics are, number one, have been around for a really long time, a lot longer than Western medicine. And number two, are grounded in solid science, and there's a lot of scientific evidence that it works. And when we think about it, our bodies are more than our physical structure. The body is more than the chemistry, the blood that floats around and derives chemistry. It's more than the electrical signal. Well, it is also electrical signals, and we know that by the way nerves transmit themselves. We know that though by the way the heart works, right? It works on electrical conduction. And then beyond that, there's the energy. And like electrical conduction, it's invisible. But we all have solid proof that invisible energy fields work, right? We're on a computer right now, and many of you are on a wireless connection. What's that if not quote-unquote black magic, right? The TV in your living room is transmitting a signal that doesn't come through wires from the TV station. It comes through the ethers. It comes through the air as energy bundles. And it's almost kind of scary to think about all these energy bundles that are like floating around that we don't see, right? The wireless computer, the TV, the radio. There's so much of that. If we could see that energy, we would probably be blinded by it and wouldn't be able to see our physical environment. That's how predominant it is. So when people come along and say, you know, this bioenergetic medicine and acupuncture and all this stuff, it's just energy work. How could that heal the body? Well, there's lots of ways it can heal the body, and it sounds kind of woo-woo to some, but then I always bring people back to, but do you think your TV is woo-woo, that it can read the energy in the air that's coming from the TV station that's thousands of miles away? Or that when you're up in the air in an airplane, they now have wireless computer connections up there? Or satellites that beam energy bundles down and are read? So it's all a matter of understanding the energy bundles and being able to utilize them to our best ability. And so that's what I'm going to go over. It's not going to be an in-depth study of anything, because you can do acupuncture for your program in acupuncture. You can do a homeopathy program, several year program, right? You can study the way that some of these energy medicine techniques, Reiki or other hands-off kind of energy techniques, work for months to years, right? So I can't give you that depth, but I want to give you an overview, because it is indeed an important piece to look at, and how the emotions affect your people when they're ill. How did the energy fields around them affect them? How do the EMF fields in their home affect them, affect their health? So especially when you're working with somebody and you're doing all the basics, and the basics aren't doing the trick, which usually they do, then it's time to look for more advanced stuff. And that's what we've been learning all along, is how to look for those differences in your particular client that explain why the basics aren't quite working as well as you thought they should. And we look at the biochemistry of the hormones, and we look at the biochemistry of the genetics. We look at how that affects the biochemistry. And this is yet another area for you to look at to help. And when we want to put ourselves out there as truly holistic practitioners, it's really important to at least have an understanding of all the areas. Doesn't mean you have to be an expert in it. You need to be able to look at and understand how someone might benefit from consulting with somebody who is an expert in that area. So I want to be able to have you be able to talk the language. So again, the presentation is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It's not medical advice. It's just a sharing from me to you, from my research, my education, my clinical experience, and everything that's brought me to where I am. I'm sharing it with you. You make your own decisions. And if you're on medication or your client's on medication when you're consulting with them, you just make sure that anything that you suggest or that I suggest here is run by that, to make sure that there's no imbalances or discrepancies. So let's talk about what are bioenergetics. And if you look at the diagram that I have on this page, it's these people with all these rainbow colors and these swirly lights around them. Bioenergetics is actually various techniques that work on the energy fields that are in and around the body and how those energy fields are disrupted or enhanced by a variety of external influences. So within the realm of bioenergetics, and this is how I look at bioenergetics, is acupuncture and acupressure, you know, the insertion of needles into particular points for the movement of energy, releasing blockages of energy or enhancing the flow of energy. Also energy healing modalities, like Reiki and like other things that you wear, people are putting their hands on or over you in moving energy. I recently had an experience where I threw my back out and I went to a friend who's a chiropractor, and she had me on the table and she was doing this energy work and she was holding points and not really, in my estimation, doing anything. I'm thinking, oh God, I just need her to dig into the muscles and release the spasms and give me a good pop and get me better. And she didn't do that. And there were one or two little places where she popped me and rubbed on some points, but it was mostly this energy work. And I thought, oh, I'm going to get up, I'm going to have to find somebody else to really give me a good deep rub and a pop, and I'm really in pain, I want to get rid of this quickly, and this energy stuff, I don't know. And I got up off the table, and I could move again, because I had gone in there with really debilitating back stuff, where I was walking really gingerly, and it was spasming, and it was feeling like it was going out. So, you know, I've had a lot of experience that way with acupuncture, and I always think acupuncture works. So I don't know what it is about me thinking that, you know, holding two points and expecting the bones to adjust. And that's kind of outside of my realm, or was outside of my realm, until I really felt how that helped me. So energy healing modalities, well, you know, you're holding various points. Cranial sacral work, which is a very light touch cranial work, is working on energies, subtle energies that actually shift the way the bones are seated in your skull. And then bioelectrical equipment. There's various equipment that you can use for pain management and brain balance. There's things like lasers and skinars, and there's also, you know, more of the traditional physical therapy type bioelectrical equipment, like muscle stim, where you're putting in a pulse, an impulse into the muscles and getting them to relax and contract. And then there's homeopathy, which is probably, in a lot of mainstream medicine's opinion, the most woo-woo of all, right? Because with homeopathy, there's really barely anything left of the substance that started with, and in some cases, there's none. So we'll talk a little bit more about what homeopathy exactly is towards the end of the presentation, but just as an overview, you're basically taking a substance, usually a plant, mineral, or animal kind of a substance, and say you're taking, you know, piece of ginseng, and you're putting that in a vial with water and successively shaking it down. So you put maybe one part of the ginseng, 10 parts of the water, you shake it real well. There's a particular type of shaking that they do called succession. And once you do that, then you take that and you dilute that dilution in 10 parts water. And then you successively dilute it, and that's what gives you the dosages. We'll talk a little bit more about those dosages as we go on. But really, if you look at it on a molecular level, what's left in there is either none or very, very, very minute amount of the original substance. However, it has very particular actions on the body. And like, there's specific symptom pictures that are associated with specific plants or homeopathic concoctions. And I've seen it work. I've had it work with my children really dramatically. So that's another, it's really working on the energetics, because really what's left of the plant or the substance that's been homeopathically reduced like that, diluted like that, is actually just the energy of it, the essence, the energy, and the energy of that plant is moving in. I studied with David Winston, who many of you have heard speak. He very much is into the Western science and the biochemistry and all that of the herbs. And he's very much into the spiritual and the energetics of the herbs. And he actually likes to go and commune with the herbs and have them speak to him. Well, obviously, herbs don't have mouths. They don't have vocal cords. They don't speak. But they energetically communicate their message. And he told a really profound story one day about the energy of plants that it just blew me away. It gives me goosebumps to think about it. He'd been working with a patient, and it was a really challenging case of something related to the prostate, and they weren't getting, I remember, kidney or prostate, one of those areas, genitourinary tract. Anyway, he was having a real difficult time coming up with what the right concoctions were and doses were, and struggling with that. And as he was walking out in his herb, he has a wild, I wouldn't even call it a garden, he has huge property with lots of herbs. He was walking through, and he heard the nettle root say, "Use me, I can help." Because he was meditating on this person. And it basically, I don't remember the exact words because it's a long time since I heard the story, but basically the plant called to him and he said, "Well, nettle root for me? That's not in the books, that's not written anywhere, but oh well, maybe give it a try." And he did, and his client had patient great results. And so he started writing it down. So I don't have the specifics whether it was kidney or prostate, it was one of those, and it was definitely nettle root versus the leaves, or what is typically used for like a really high dose mineral boost and for osteoporosis and such. So it was the root. So let's talk about your body's energy fields. We all have them, even if you don't believe in them, you actually have them. And you may have some clients that come in and are all into that kind of stuff, and other clients are like looking at you like, okay, I'm in the wrong place. And I would certainly recommend that you feel people out, because you don't want to make a bad first impression and get them to not believe in your skill set, because you may mention something about energy healing and they're not ready for it yet. Okay, so just feel it out. I've been trained in kinesiology, muscle testing, and I've been to lots of classes in it, and I've done it a lot. And I generally don't lead with that when I'm talking to people. I feel them out to see if they are open to that. Now, I don't use kinesiology and muscle testing, which is another energetic measure. I don't use that before I look at the whole picture. Like a lot of folks have been trained in just a very specific narrow range, and they'll take their little medicine chest of specific substances, and they'll just, quick muscle test and say, you need this, you don't need that, etc. I don't buy into that kind of approach. I've studied with somebody called Wally Schmidt. He's extremely technical, extremely into the biochemistry, and then how do the muscle tests work with that. So it's basically measuring the energetic fields. So feel it out with your people. I don't tell people right away, but when they start saying, oh, and I went to my naturopath and they muscle tested me, and oh, I muscle tested myself, I'm out at the store this morning, then I'll open up to that. And I ease into it depending on who's coming in. But I've had really surprising results where I had somebody who was a really scientific engineer type come in, and I was really careful about what I offered him, but I started talking about some of his stuff and he just like went wild for it. He thought it was the best thing. So, your energy fields. So this is a quick and easy diagram of the meridian systems. On the right are those little acupuncture dolls. I have one in my office and it has a little stand that I put it on. Unfortunately, it's quite funny, but kind of silly, but the stand goes up and the little hole is right where the buttocks are. So you kind of stick in this little rod up this guy's butt to sit him on the stand. Anyway, I think I have a girl actually. But this is basically a really nice tool to have if you want to get into understanding something about acupuncture meridians and studying them, because all the meridians are marked out. So if you're looking up a point and it says, oh, like this point's really good, this combination of points really good for insomnia, rather than just looking at the picture in the book and finding it, you can actually physically touch it. And because I'm a very kinesthetic person, I learn best by touching, I find the dolls to be very useful. And the other way is charts. So there's 12 main meridians, and they're paired. So long and large intestine are paired, stomach, spleen, heart, small intestine, bladder, kidney, heart, governor, that's actually governing vessel, and actually it's the remnant, the Du meridian, if you use the Chinese way to do it. And gallbladder and liver. Oh, that's probably pericardium. Yeah, that's pericardium. So some people call them different things. So it's pericardium and triple heater. And then there's two others to make 14, which run down the center of the body. So each of these meridians are paired. There's one on either side of the body. Some of them service go to the tips of the fingers. Others go to the tips of the toes. And then there's two that go down the center, like one that goes down the center in the front of the body, which is, it's called REN, also called circulation sex, some folks call it. And like the Touch for Health language, it's called circulation sex. And then the other one is the governing vessel, or the due meridian, which starts at the top of the head and goes down the back. So those are your meridians. And the idea is that each of these meridians controls different functions in the body. The confusing part for us, because we've been trained in kind of the Western physiology anatomy approach, is that what is considered the function in Chinese medicine of these particular meridians is not exactly what we consider the function in Western medicine. So it's kind of interesting, because when I was in acupuncture school, I would sit there in class and they'd say, and the spleen does blah, 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 the spleen does that. And I go, no, it doesn't. And they say, and the small intestine controls this. And I say, no, it doesn't, you know, because it was just totally foreign to me. So some of them overlap with Western ideas of what it is, but others don't. So for example, in Chinese medicine, the spleen is considered, along with the stomach, part of the digestion. You need to have a good spleen part. Well, yeah, spleen is digestion. Pancreas is digestion, but spleen is not. So, like, spleen is the recycling of used up red blood cells, right? So that's not related to digestion at all. But the pancreas, which sits in proximity to it in the body, is. And it's possible that they called it the spleen meridian, but they really meant it was the pancreas meridian, which would make a lot more sense. So there's a lot of stuff related to acupuncture that you can learn. One that I think would be really useful would be learning how the meridians are associated with the time of day. Because if you're working with a client that has a very specific set of symptoms that happen at a very specific time of day and not others, like always at 3 o'clock in the morning, you'd want to look that up on the chart and see, and I'm not sure if I actually included the chart here. Let me see. I'll show you a little bit of the technique, but there's, you just do a search online and say acupuncture time chart or clock or something like that. It's very, very useful to be able to look at that. If somebody always wakes up at 5 in the morning, maybe something's going on with their lung, because that's when the lung is at the high point. Or maybe it's something with the large intestine, which is at its low point. So it's interesting to look at. So in acupuncture, this is interesting. So in acupuncture, the needles are usually in this little tube, although the more sophisticated acupuncturists just get their needles alone, and the tube helps to insert. So you basically, when you get the needle, the tip is protected and it's in a foil or a paper, plasticky kind of sleeve, so individual needles in each one so that they are sterile. And then when you insert the needle, you release the very top, where you see where the person's finger is, their index finger has the top of the needle there, and that you release it from the casing. And some of them it's just a little flip, and in others there's a little piece, a little plastic piece that sticks in to prevent the needle from going out. But you want the needle to go out when you're inserting it. So you press against the skin with the tip, you do a decent sized pressure, and then you flip the top. You click right up at the very top of the needle and flip it in. And it's really not that hard to do. The art and the science of it is understanding the meridians and where to put them. Now there are hundreds of acupuncture points, and we had to learn them as I was going through school. And you promptly forget a lot of the ones that are not commonly used, and you use your lookup. You may be feeling a point and go, is that like spleen 9, or is that spleen 11, or is that... And you just kind of don't remember the number. I don't, personally, because I'm not, you know, I didn't go through the full 4-year acupuncture school. I did more of a postgraduate acupuncture certification. But it's really, really very, very effective in a lot of conditions. I'll give you an example. When I was first starting out in acupuncture, I'd been to my classes. I'd been to probably 4 or 5 classes already. And I knew a little bit, but not a lot. And we'd already studied the lung meridian. And my husband was just coughing like crazy. And, you know, going to these allergy coughing fits, and sometimes it's after he's had a cold, then he'll cough for like days on end, and only at night. So we get into bed, and we're about to go to sleep, and he starts coughing. oh no, I'm going to be up all night, or I'm going to have to go sleep in the guest room. And I said to him, hey, would you like me to try some acupuncture? I learned about this just this weekend. I learned about these acupuncture points. And he is like, all right. So I did. I worked on some points, just some basic stuff. Within, I would say, 2 to 3 minutes, he was sound asleep, and he slept the whole night, and he didn't cough after that. Now, not everything is dramatic, but I had another very dramatic case. Again, I was maybe a little further along in school, maybe 6 or 8 months in school, and I was visiting friends, and my friend who I knew from college said to me, you know, my husband has been having this really bad elbow pain, and he can barely move it, and can only work with it a little bit, and he likes to be active. Maybe you could have a look at it. And I said, sure, I'll take a look at it. So she calls him in, and he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I looked at it, and I had my needles with me, and so I did this acupuncture treatment on it. And I did a very basic pain management technique with some local points. And when we finished, he said, you know, it doesn't feel any different. I said, well, it was worth a try. You know, I'm not really that skilled in it yet. And so he went off to go outside and do whatever he was doing. And he came back in about 10 minutes later. He says, I can't believe it. The pain is completely gone. He'd had it for 6 months. So I've had some really dramatic shifts. And I've used it personally for people with morning sickness. Very helpful for that. I've used pressure, acupressure on the points for people who are having motion sickness on the boat and didn't want to take drugs like Dramamine. So there's a lot of really good stuff you can do with it. And you don't have to necessarily learn it all. I would highly recommend a book called Touch for Health, which is the layperson's guide to the acupuncture system. And it makes it very easy to understand and to learn. So that's it for acupuncture. And again, so the resources, I would say the acupuncture clock, which is basically, it's usually circular and then it'll have points in. There's also the concept of the five elements, and people who are not acupuncturists use the concept of the five elements: earth, water, wood, air, and fire. And each of those has different characteristics, and sometimes you can tell if somebody's really has a fire imbalance, etc. It's a little more sophisticated, but there's a book called The Web That Has No Weaver. That is a layperson's book. It's quite sophisticated, and we actually use that as partially as a textbook. We had another textbook, but it was one of the recommended readings for one of the classes I took. So if it's something you're interested in, it's certainly something to pursue, and there are a number of different systems that teach the acupuncture system. So let's look at electroacupuncture. I have a machine just like that. You can do it in a number of ways. You can do it as this is doing, where you're putting the electricity right on the needles. And when you put the electricity on the needles, it enhances the flow into that point. Now, it could be too stimulating for some people, so you know people need to be careful with that, but it's a great way to enhance it. Now, another way to do it is to actually use little electrode pads, little tiny pads that you hook up to. There's a little, like a little tooth, you could probably see that, with the needle sticking into it. Instead, you would hook that up to an electric stim pad, but real little ones, the littlest ones you can get, and then you put those on the acupuncture points. And so you don't need to have a license to do needles to do that. I think these machines might be limited to practitioners anyway, physical therapists or chiropractors or acupuncturists, but it's a really nice way to do it, especially if your people are squeamish about needles. My older son has always been squeamish about needles, and he's never let me put needles in him, whereas my younger son loves it. And so when my older son had gotten some hives and bronchitis when he was at school and living in a moldy dormitory room, I sent him to an acupuncturist there, and I said, you know, he's probably not going to be open to getting needles, but if you can do some electroacupuncture, you can do some acupressure, get him on some herbs, that would be wonderful. So they took him in, and it turned out he let them do the needles, and he didn't do this electrostim, electroacupuncture, but what he did was he allowed them to do another technique called cupping. And cupping is where they actually put a suction cup over different points, different meridian points that they want to stimulate and put energy into. And he allowed them to do that, which I was quite amazed at. And he got good relief. So within a week, he was better, which was very cool. It's very hard when your child is far away from you. And my kids don't generally get sick even when they're home, but to have kids, first time in his life he ever got sick like that, other than chicken pox when he was 7. And it was really hard for me to be away from him. I just wanted to get on the plane and go out and take care of him. Okay, so then there's auricular acupuncture, and you see these little pellets down here. This is fun because you don't need a license to do it, and you generally aren't going to hurt somebody because they're not so stimulating that you can throw people out of balance. But you can actually get these little pellets. There's a little adhesive, and then there's a little either a pellet or a magnet. And you can actually do it at home if you wanted to with Band-Aid type tape, the little skinny adhesive tape, and then little pieces of millet or a lentil, or lentils are a little bit big, but like millet or chia seeds or something along those lines, and you actually put it on the point that you want to stimulate. And so if you look at the picture there, there's an upside down, it looks like an upside down fetus, but it's an upside down person, and it shows you where the different body parts, so you can stimulate body parts by stimulating the ear. This has been used a lot for addiction type therapy. So if somebody has alcoholism or they're on cigarettes and they want to go off of it, there's specific points like right in front of the ear that are addiction points. And generally you'd associate some of those addiction points with another part of the body where maybe that addiction is occurring. So if it's somebody who's drinking or has an overeating kind of issue, you'd put them there and then you'd go to this little spot where the mouth is and you'd put it over there as well. And then there's other points, there's allergy points and various things. So this is a very cursory little picture, but you can actually get some really detailed ones even online that show you exactly the spots for the different parts of the body. And so this is like a reflex technique, kind of like reflexology on the foot, only as a mapping of the body on the ear. And I've seen some good results with it, especially with cravings, with food cravings. And I'll have somebody put it there, and if they start to get a food craving, rub on that little point. So these are a few little adjunctive things you might want to play with as you start to experiment in your practice. And there's a more detailed, there you go, a more detailed auricular therapy, so you can just print that out. And I actually have an ear. Like, I have the body, I have an ear. And I look at the ear, and it helps me to really locate the points. It's very interesting stuff. Then there's Korean hand therapy, and I've used this with phenomenal results with quite a number of people. Oh, it must have been 5 or 6 years ago I went to a class. I thought, oh, Korean hand acupuncture, that sounds really interesting. And it's without acupuncture, you're actually using the pellets. So that sounds interesting. And the instructor was an acupuncturist, and he told the story of how when he first got out of acupuncture school here, he went and studied, did like an internship over in China, worked in a hospital. And what he noticed was people are getting really dramatic results. He was so impressed, he couldn't wait to come home and start his practice, and he did. He had a successful practice, but the results weren't as dramatic. Number one, he figured out that people just wouldn't be there every day. And when they're in the hospital, they're getting treated every day, sometimes several times a day. So once a week at the most was he could get people to come in. And then he also discovered that the compliance was down with people when you told them various things they could do to support themselves in between they weren't doing it. So he discovered Korean hand therapy, and he went and took some classes, and he got really good at it, started getting phenomenal results by having people stimulate these particular points that he would point out to them every day. Especially good for pain management. And you don't just put the little pellet on and leave it. You put it on specifically for an hour a day, and then you take it off and you put it back on the little card. And the pain is, and it's amazing, because you go through and you use a little, I actually use an embossing tool that you can get at Michael's, and I poke around on the different areas. So say somebody had a pain in their jaw. I would go up onto the face and I would start poking around on the places that are close to the jaw. And as soon as we hit a spot that they went, ah, that hurts, then I would go ahead and put one of the pellets on there. So I'd mark it for them and then put it on there. And if they had some other things going on, say they had a shoulder, the way that it works is you usually treat the pinky and the ring finger on the same side as where their symptoms are. If for some reason you can't treat the pinky and the ring finger on that side because say they're broken or there's a rash or there's some other sensitivity, then you would treat the thumb and the forefinger, the index finger, on the opposite side. So whenever you look at the charts, they'll always show it mapped out to these fingers. And so if you look, this is showing all the organs coming down the middle. And then the left You can actually see it. If you go to the tip of this finger, the ring finger and the index finger, they have a little hand there, and the other two have a foot there. So the rule of thumb is you treat the ring finger and the pinky finger on the side of the pain or the discomfort or the dysfunction, and then if there's a problem, then the other side. So it's really cool. There's a lot of good charts online, and I've got a big, like a placemat size chart with this stuff laid out, and I've scanned in the different pieces of it and printed out and give it to people when they have particular areas that we want them to stimulate. So that's a really interesting scope too. And here's just another picture of it that shows the organs, the whole layout of the body and the mapping of the body, so you can see what it looks like. And there's a lot of options, whatever works best for you if you choose to do something like that. And you're always treating the anterior is the front, the posterior is the back. So when you're treating, you'll be treating that part. So if somebody has a problem with the back of the knee, the knee where it bends, you're going to be treating that on the back of the hand. And the back of the hand would be the opposite of the palm. And if they have a problem on the front of the knee, you're going to be treating it on the palm. And then here's one of the things you can do is something called MOXA. So MOXA is the application of heat to different areas. And when you do that, you put energy into that meridian point. And there's a lot of ways to do MOXA. It's typically an herb, and that herb is then burned over that point. So sometimes it's actually applied to the needle itself. In this case, these are really cool MOXAs. I love these. I have a set of these, where it's actually a little sticky pad that you put over the point you want to treat, and then you stick the MOXA on top of that. You have to light it. You have to be really careful because it's easy to burn somebody, but it's a really highly effective technique for treating and stimulating specific points. They also do it with the needles and put it on the back. There's a lot of things that they do with treating meridian points with heat to help with deep and chronic inflammation, say of the knees. MOXA on the knees has been shown to be very effective for arthritis. In fact, one of the classmates in the class when we were learning about MOXA, he had just told us about a technique for MOXA where you actually very, very thinly slice ginger and you put it over the person's knee or the area of pain, and then you heat it. You can put MOXA sticks over it, or you can even just put a hot pack over it. But that technique of heating that area was so effective. Her mom went to an acupuncturist, did it once, and her knee pain that she'd had for 20 years went away. And it's MOXA, M-O-X-A, M-O-X-A. Yeah. Our bodies are so amazing, and just because we can't treat a certain area, just because, like, say you're not licensed as an acupuncturist, but you want to take advantage of some of the energy stuff in the body, you can study the Touch for Health book, and you can get to know those meridians, and they teach you some muscle testing and some reflex points you can do. You can get a set of these little pellets, and you can study the reflex charts, the ear, the hand, the foot, and you can actually put things on to help people with pain. So even though you may be a nutrition practitioner and may be doing mostly nutrition type work, it's really nice to have these tools even to just tell people. So periodically, you know, I do a lot of coaching over the phone, and I'll be talking to somebody and they're telling me about a particular area that they have pain in, and I'll ask them lots of questions, have them do certain movements. So I basically perform an orthopedic physical exam over the phone, and then the kinds of things I can give them to do for themselves is to do some of this Korean hand acupuncture. Very easy to do and works really well. If you look at these little things off to the left, that they're purple and green, those are two different types of embossing tools, basically, is all you need. And you can get these at Michael's or Hobby Lobby or any of those kinds of hobby stores in the area where they have embossing tools. And it steals us a few dollars. And what I did when I first took the Korean hand thing, I ordered a bunch of this stuff from a company that sponsored the class. So when they came, I was like, oh my God, these are just embossing tools. So I had ordered about 10 of them. I ordered, you know, 10 sets of the little things. And I would, as people walked out the door, I would have them leave with a sheet of paper mapping out the meridians on the hand or the points on the hand. And then they'd have a roll of tape, because the adhesive inevitably on those pellets just like he dies. You know, it just gets no good. But if you still have the pellet, you can use the tape. But usually what I'll do is I'll put the pellets on and then I put a little piece of tape, skin flesh tone tape. So I would send people out with the pellets, the embossing tool, and the tape, and it would cost them something like $10 to do their own home therapy. A lot less expensive than going for an acupuncture treatment. So we're always about empowering people to be just self-inclined. I love to have people taking care of themselves and really learning and knowing how to do that. Another method of, you know, the same sort of thing where you're stimulating points and organs and glands from other parts of the body is foot reflexology. And that might be something that you've heard of and can easily, you know, relate to. Maybe you've been to a foot reflexologist. They have them at various spas. It's probably the most accepted and well known about in these reflex points that where the body's mapped. And you can basically go through the point. People are trained in reflexology will have a specific way that they go through the foot with a specific type of pressure, working on all the points. When they get to a point that's especially tender, they'll look at their chart or they may know it. I just did that and I got two. Interesting. I got to a point on a kidney that feels a little bit tender to me, right? So it could be that I'm doing a green cleanse and I'm, you know, eliminating a lot. It could be some of that going on. Liver's sore too, so I think that's what it is. So you can go through the foot and find spots. You can do it on yourself. Just go through and find spots that are especially tender. Look on the chart to see what organ or gland it associates with. And feel like you want to give extra nourishing attention. You can treat it by doing some circular motions. You can treat it by putting some of those acupuncture pellets. If you don't have the acupuncture pellets, like I said, get some very thin adhesive kind of body tape. It's not really bandage tape. It's just surgical adhesive type tape. And then you get things, depending on how big the area is. If it's a big area on the foot, you may get a lentil or kidney bean and tape that on and then use that to apply pressure. So there's a lot of ways that you can self-treat, and I've used acupressure and reflexology with my kids just so many times when they were little. And whereas other kids were getting ear infections all the time, my kids would say, oh, I think my ear hurts, and I'd just start with the acupressure and give them some homeopathics, and within a couple of hours they were fine again, and they never really got those things. So it's a lot of ways that you can tap in to your own body and to your family members. So it's really, really cool. So there's forms of acupressure that people do. It's not just like poke on the body. That is one way. There's not a name to it. You just find the points. You find the tender points, or you feel which ones have blocked energy. If you're an energy worker, you can do that. And you can treat them. But there's other specific types of acupressure practices. And again, there's really good ways to add something to your practice if you want to do something in addition to the nutrition counseling. And that would be shiatsu, which is a firm pressure, very deep, firm pressure going along the points. Then there's jinshin jitsu and jinshin do. They're both very, very similar, and they work on holding two points or three points sometimes at the same time, but just holding it in a light touch and feeling until the pulses come in, until there's a synchronization of the pulses. And then you move on. And I've got books on both of them. And again, they're very similar. And what I've noticed is that they usually have like protocols. So here's the protocol for menstrual cramps. Here's the protocol for headaches. And you're going through a series of 2 to 3 points and holding until you feel the pulses and then moving on through. So that's what that is. A watsu is a method of, it's actually shiatsu in water. So you're basically having somebody that they put some kind of a pillow under your knees. It's a salt water pool, so you float really easily. And then they hold you by the scalp or the occiput. They hold your body, and they're working points while you're floating in water. To me, it's heavenly, totally heavenly. And it just feels really great. You feel really relaxed. And I suppose if you were to do it on an ongoing basis, it would be very therapeutic in the sense of working on particular issues. And then Tui Na is kind of a cross between acupressure and massage. And I took a course in that when I was in acupuncture school. And there's these very specific pressures that you do on specific parts of the body and like on the face, you're working the acupuncture points, but you're doing these particular types of pressures, and you work a lot of stuff along the spine, which is where a lot of the bladder meridian points are located. And then here's just a picture of acupressure technique. That could be shiatsu, or that could be someone just incorporating some pressure on the points. Like I said, along the spine, you've got the bladder meridian points. They're not just related to urination. There's a lot of things the bladder are related to. And there's some chronic low back pain points on the bladder meridian right behind the knee. So if you're ever working with someone that has a really bad low back pain, so much so that if you were to go and stick a needle in the back on one of these points, the low back points, and then start putting a needle in behind the knee and stimulate that and put your hand over around that area on the back, as you're stimulating the knee, you can actually feel it in the back if you get it right. So this is just a picture of some of the acupressure techniques. It's very therapeutic and also can be very, very relaxing. And there, that's the Tuina. We did stuff like that where you're just doing some pressure on different points on the face. I've worked with people who have had headaches and done acupuncture where I'm treating the points that are around the eyes and below the eyes. The small intestine 1 is right below the eyes, and the bladder is up in the corner of the eyes. And we work a lot of those points and just go for what's tender. And I've had people get rid of headaches within 5-10 minutes. Also, there's a point right in the middle of the eyes, and that's considered a general stress point. And there's a picture of Touch for Health. I have this chart. You can't really see it here, but you can look online for it, and you can order them, you know, for about $20. You can get a big, big poster-sized version of it. And it's really cool because it lays out each of the meridians. It's got the clock I was telling you about over to the right-hand side. Can't see it here, but it's got the lists of meridian points and some of the, what they call neurovascular and neurolymphatic points. They're points on the body, the vascular points being the ones that you just hold and try to balance a particular meridian, and the relationship to a specific muscle, so specific in this system of kinesiology, which Touch for Health is based on, the specific muscles are related to specific organs. So for example, the deltoids are related to the lungs, and the sartorius, which runs across from the hip bone all the way down to the inner part of the knee, is related to the adrenals. Okay, and the tensor fascia lata, which is out on the hip area, is related to the large intestine. So when people are complaining about particular issues, I might be testing those muscles to see if those muscles are weak or if I can get them to go weak by having them touch certain points. And very frequently, when I work on somebody from a musculoskeletal standpoint, I will generally test all the muscles just to see what's out of balance. And when I find one that seems like it's not related to a musculoskeletal thing, I'll say, are your adrenals bothering you? You know, if you've been a lot of stress, I wouldn't ask them if their adrenals are bothering them, but I'm thinking adrenals, and I'm asking them, have you been under a lot of stress lately? And oftentimes they'll say, yeah. Or have you been peeing a lot lately, or not peeing enough lately? Notice that your urine has changed in darker color, because some of the kidney points maybe off. Great chart to get, great book to get, to just give you that basic understanding and working knowledge if it's something you're so inclined. And it's a great way to be able to work on your friends and family members and yourself. Now, I've studied applied kinesiology with some of the top people in the applied kinesiology field, and this is basically based on this. This is like taken from that and made into a system that's available and accessible to the layperson. And they teach classes as well, and they have videos online where you can learn. And then there's Touch for Health online, and they have e-charts, and I haven't looked at it because I've got enough books on my shelves and enough things, but it looks like it could be really good. It's for Windows, and the charts right on your computer. You can print them out, you can look things up. So it's a great resource, and you know, it could be really helpful for you in working with clients who maybe have some musculoskeletal issues and you don't have necessarily the skill set to work on them, but you want to empower them to be able to work on themselves. So we're finished with the acupuncture, but very closely related is the chakras. And I used to think of, oh yeah, the chakras, it's just, you know, people who are into woo-woo stuff and didn't really have a basis in science, but there's actually a lot of research that's been done relating the chakras to neural plexuses. And I think it was at our Shine conference Artemis was talking about this, and he was talking about the particular person, I just don't remember the name of the person, who discovered it and started relating it to the various plexuses, the nerve plexuses in our body. So the chakras are related to specific emotions as well as specific areas of the body. So the lower one is elimination. The next one, of course, right behind the genitals is sexual. And then the one around the navel is considered the seat of the willpower and power and drive, in addition to being digestion. And then the next one up around the heart level is considered, of course, the love and compassion and associated with respiration. And the throat is considered spiritual drive. And then between the eyebrows, it's like that third eye, is considered intellect. And then the crown of the head, formless and supreme light. And I'm not an expert by any stretch in chakras. In fact, I don't really do much of anything with chakras. But it's very interesting when you look at, you know, looking at a full picture of what's going on with somebody, it can sometimes give you some clinical insights. And then there's energy medicine, right? Reiki, which is just laying the hands above the body. Sometimes they touch, but mostly they lay them above, and they feel the energy, and they have techniques for moving. And most of us get divorced from our ability to do that because we're so into our physical world. And what I would say is, sometimes just try it, where you take your hands and hold them together, rub them until you get a little bit of warmth, do that now, and then just start pulling them away from each other. And seeing if you feel, you feel an attraction between them for quite a while. And see how far away you have to go before you stop feeling. Okay, so I got a little bit past shoulder width, quite a bit past shoulder width before I stopped feeling it. Now, I normally wouldn't be tuned into that because it's just not my general orientation. There are other people who've been studying energy work and are proficient at it that are always tuned into that. But really, we all have that ability. We really do. And you just need to tap into it, and there's some power in your hands, and sometimes just putting your hands over someone and feeling the energy coming off that spot can be very, very valuable. Qigong is from the Chinese medicine tradition, and it's a way of moving the qi in certain ways. And there's things they do with the breath and with the voice and with the body and moving in certain ways. I went to a seminar a couple of years ago and actually bought some of these magnetic things. They said magnetic qigong was supposed to be like really great. You stand on these magnets and you do qigong. Well, I did it a few times, but it kind of went by the wayside, and I need to get back to it and try it again, because it's supposed to really help with centering you and moving the energy through and not allowing energy blocks to stagnate in you and cause feelings of unrest or feelings of depression or anxiety or other negative emotions. And there's magnetic healing, and it's actually putting magnets on the body. There are a lot of magnetic pads that you can get and you can sleep on. There's magnetic foot inserts. There's magnetic wrist braces for if you have an injury, elbow braces. There's magnets you can put on those acupuncture referral points on the ears. So there's all kinds of things that can be done with magnetic healing. And I'm not trained in that. I've not really studied that, so it's not something I know all that much about. But I know it's an option, and it definitely can work with people. And it's a great tool to have if you are working with people long distance and you're feeling frustrated by not having tools to help them with healing specific areas. It just gives extra healing power. And then I have EFT down. That's a form of energy medicine, right? They're actually tapping on acupuncture points. Right? The ones on the side of the hand is on the small intestine meridian. The ones at the tips of the fingers are various depending on which of the meridians they're on. So the meridians that go to the hands are small intestine, large intestine, heart, pericardium, triple heater, and there's six of them and I'm missing one. Anyway, those are the ones in the hands, and the small intestine is the one that we do the karate chop point, if you know anything about the EFT tapping. The idea is to bring up emotionally charged events or activities or things that happened in your life that you're kind of holding on to, and it's causing unrest in the body, and to tap them while you're stimulating these meridian points. So we go and we do that side point, and you go to the top of the head, which is the point on the governing vessel meridian, and then you go down to the bladder points on the side of the eyes, and then you go to a point right where the Ren and Du meridians kind of meet, right above the nose and right below the nose. And those, that's, that goes down to the circulation sac, or the what is really called the Ren meridian. And then it goes down to the shoulder area where it does that kidney points, KA26. And then it goes to the side, which is the spleen, the end of the spleen, and it gets spleen 21. So that's all tapping on meridian points while you're bringing up these emotionally charged things that is supposed to bring down and dissipate the energy. And it's gotten widespread popularity. You know, the Tapping World Summit, they get hundreds of thousands of people to sign up for that, which is huge. It's getting into a little bit of mainstream, which is very huge. So that's what EFT tapping is, and I consider that part of energy medicine. So here's a little bit more on Reiki, you know, showing the hands and the energy and holding the hands above the body with the idea of moving the energy. And people who are trained in energy and Reiki can feel it. And I, you know, again, years ago, I thought, oh, yeah, right, they're not even touching me, just give me a good massage. But I had a friend who could combine both. She would start out the session with the Reiki, and then she'd go into the deep. Very smart, because when she started out with the Reiki, she totally relaxed me and put me out. And then she could go deep without me feeling uncomfortable. I'd just come off those sessions feeling like I was floating. So it's a really, really valuable tool, I think. And this is a picture of Qigong. So this is some of the poses. You're basically opening up the front of the body and stepping into it. And there's various poses that may look like yoga poses, but they're done in different ways. There's a lot of use of the breath and the kind of things. But it's a really phenomenal tool that's used in Chinese medicine. And then there's a picture of the magnets, healing with magnets. That's Gary Null, and there's a lot of other books about healing with magnets, and you see them on various parts of the body for healing. And then there's a picture of the EFT tapping with the picture of the points. So the karate chop is the small intestine, and then the top of the head would be the governing vessel or the Du meridian, and then the eyebrows would be the bladder, and oh, the side of the eye would be either small intestine or triple warmer. And then the under the nose would be where the Ren meridian begins and below the chin, but where the Du meridian ends and the below the chin is where the Ren meridian begins. And then those sore spots at the collarbone are the kidney 26, I believe. Under the arm is spleen, so it's all related to the acupuncture. So it's a phenomenal tool, and there's a lot of resources out to teach you it. So that's it for the energy movement, energy medicine per se. So let's look at some of the bioelectrical equipment for pain management and for balance. So this is an ultrasound machine. It's one of my favorite tools for dealing with pain, both acute and chronic. I've had some amazing results with people with using ultrasound. I remember one of them was with myself when my son was maybe 3 or 4 years old. We were at a little, one of those indoor kind of playground type of things where there's tunnels and slides, and I was chasing around. He must have been younger. He must have been 2.5 or 3, because I was really uncomfortable with letting him out of my eyesight. So I would follow him around, and he took off at one point, and I took off after him, and I felt like I tweaked something in my foot, the side of my foot. Was it ever terrible? But it was just uncomfortable, and it was very tender. And I tried various things. I figured I must have thrown it out of alignment. I tried adjusting it. I used my activator tool to adjust it. And I massaged it, and it wasn't getting any better. It was about 3 years later, and it finally occurred to me to do my ultrasound on it. Why it didn't occur to me to do that right away, I don't know. But I did one ultrasound treatment on it, and the pain was gone after 3 years. Now, that's not typical. It doesn't always work that way. A friend of mine had frozen shoulder, and I was working on her with ultrasound, and she was getting a little better, but she lived far away, and she was only coming in once a week. And I told her I really felt like she needed it more often. And she went and found an ultrasound unit on Amazon and bought it. She started doing it twice a day. And it was pretty darn amazing. Within, I think, 3 weeks, she had retained most of her shoulder motion back. So it really has some good results. It doesn't work for everybody, but again, it's a tool that you can encourage people, because since you can get them online now, you can only get them if you're a licensed practitioner, that you could go ahead and have people order. Now, if it's not within your scope of practice to use one, you don't want to buy one and start using it on people, okay? Except your family members, maybe, and yourself. But you can tell people that they can do it. And muscle stim. Actually, my ultrasound looks like that, same brand over there. I have one that looks more like the one on the right, not exactly. And muscle stim is where you hook up these pads, these wires, similar to that picture I showed you earlier with the electroacupuncture, and you're putting them on various parts of the body. And when you do that, you do it for a specific therapeutic purpose. It's either to reduce inflammation, bring circulation, or reduce muscle spasm. And the unit I have is what's called an interferential. So it's four pads, and you put the pads on, so the black is crisscrossed from the black, and the red is crisscrossed from the red. And in that way, it creates a pattern, an electrical pattern, that helps to relax the muscle and reduce inflammation at the same time. These machines are used not just in therapeutics when there's an injury or a spasm or pain, but they're also used by the athletes in Russia. There's a technique called Russian stim. And Russian stim was used to help strengthen their athletes in between workouts and in off seasons to help them be on peak for their performances. And it worked phenomenally, believe it or not. So pretty darn amazing stuff, this electric stim. And I always have funny stories about my equipment because my kids like to get in there. My younger son is almost 16 now, but he's been fascinated by all this medical stuff and the equipment that I have since he was a little kid. When he was 4, he wanted to know what the acupuncture needles were, and when I told him, he wanted to know I could do it on myself so he could see, and then, let me do it on me so I could feel it. And then he asked, could I do it? Could I do it? So I taught him how, and he's poking acupuncture needles in me, and he did it on himself. So he's not squeamish at all about it. And so then there would be times when I would want to put an acupuncture needle in my back, and of course can't reach it myself, and I would just ask him to do it. So he's been doing acupuncture since he's 4 years old. Well, he also gets a lot of injuries because he does a lot of sports, a lot of really heavy-duty sports, like skateboarding and pitching and catching and baseball, and gets injured. And when he does, he knows where to come, of course, to mama. And I do the muscle stim on him when he has, because you can't do ultrasound on little kids, so don't remember that. You never want to do it on a person that doesn't have closed growth plates. So anybody under 20, 18 or 20, as long as they hit their peak potential, it's okay. But if you do it by unclosed growth plates, it can actually cause them to prematurely close. So if you get excited about it and some little kid has pain in your family and you want to get one of these, don't. So he's never had ultrasound because he's too young to have ultrasound, but I've done muscle stim on him a number of times and it's really helped. But he gets a kick out of it because it makes the body parts contract without your control. So he thinks it's weird that his arm starts to bend and straighten, and he can't control it. So I find out one day that he's playing with it when I was out of town with his friends. So, I mean, kids play doctor when they're kids and they have fake equipment. My kid comes in and uses the real stuff. So he calls me up, he goes, Mom, could we hurt ourselves by putting the muscle stim over the heart? And I'm, no, you don't put it over your heart. And then he's like, oh, are we gonna die? So I said, look, it's over, it's done. You didn't hurt yourself, but don't ever do it again, because you could have. You don't want to put an electrical current over your heart unless you know what you're doing and you're trying to revive somebody with one of those thumper things. But he gets really great results with it, and it is something you can learn to do on yourself, but it takes a little bit more finesse and know-how than the ultrasound. So if you're dealing with pain issues yourself, or a family member is, or you want to recommend it to a client who is, then I would say the ultrasound would be a good way to go. Now, there are other things you can use as well. This is a picture of the muscle stim, and you can see the little cross wires. You're putting them across from each other in an X pattern. That would be, this is actually a little different than interferential. Let's see. This isn't exactly interferential. But you basically are putting it in different spots. It's just examples. The other thing that's more common and safe for home use is laser. Now, you can get the really high-powered lasers, which are not safe for home use, and you have to be really certified, and they require you to wear sunglasses when you're doing them, and I have a friend who has them. We're talking anywhere from $6,000 to $25,000, depending on the laser. That's not what we're talking about here. But these lasers, you know, some of them at the very low end can go for like $500, but they can go up to like $5,000 or $6,000 on the home end, depending on what they do. And it puts light into the area, and that light is very healing. It like gives photons and extra energy for it to heal. When I broke my arm, a friend of mine had this equipment, and he rents it out. So he rented me a laser and another equipment I'll show you in a bit called the Scanar. And I was basically holding it over my arm. And it doesn't have to be over exactly the spot, because when it was in the cast, I couldn't exactly get close. And he said, just put it nearby, just stimulate it nearby. He also said you could also stimulate the other side of the body, which I didn't try. I just did it on the one side. But it basically puts a lot of light energy in there. And I think I have some resources at the end where you can go and if you want to learn more. I'm not an expert on lasers and how they work. I've just used them, know that they can be effective, have friends who do the high-end ones and have gotten big trainings in them. And I just wanted to share with you that it's available. Then there's this thing called the Scanar, and the one that I borrowed looked just like that. And it stands for Self-Controlled Energetic Neuroadaptive Receptor. And it's basically, you put it over the areas that you're having a pain or discomfort on, and it basically reads the signal from it and signals back in to regulate the energy. So it's based on technology that was developed for Russians when they went into space. And the Russians are always ahead of us. And a dove is a type of scanner device organizing vital energy. It's a small home unit, which is what's pictured here. So the big office ones are a little bit different, but this one's very easy to use. You basically hold it and slide it over the area. So for me, it was the arm, but I knew that it wasn't just going to be the arm that would be having a problem, that I can have some disruptions in the energy fields all the way down and all the way up. So I just take that scanner and hold it in my hand and run it like up the arm. And when you get to a spot where it kind of sticks, then you stay there and it starts to do this beeping thing. And there's a particular rhythm of beats that tell you when the energy gets balanced in that area. I did interview a friend of mine who's into this, the one that rented me the equipment, on my radio show a couple of years ago, probably 2 years ago. But if you typed in Scanar on drritamarieradio.com or in the Vital community, it might be organized a little bit more easy to find. You might learn a little bit more about it. So the last thing we're going to talk about here is homeopathy. How many of you have actually used homeopathy either with yourselves or with clients or with family members? So homeopathy is, like I said earlier, it's the science of using very small, very dilute doses, and they base it on the law of similar. So if something causes a certain set of symptoms in a healthy person, then you can use it to reverse those symptoms in an unhealthy person. So again, it sounds like black magic right here. Take this arsenic because you are showing symptoms of arsenic poisoning. It doesn't seem so, but it's very well studied, very well researched, and a lot of people practicing it with great results. A lot of MDs are trained in homeopathy. So it's just a really, really amazing science. Now, there's this whole thing of the law of similars. There's the difference between a classic homeopath and one who does formulas. And formulas are things that you'll see pictured on the slide where it's from the top ones where there are different formulas for bedwetting or for colds or for flus. So let me talk a little bit about classic and then I'll talk about formulas. So classic would be where the homeopath is going through and asking a very detailed history. Like even such things as if you prefer eggplant to zucchini, or do you know you sleep with the windows open or closed, or do you wear socks to bed or not? And all these different little things that lead them to come up with a remedy that's just right for you. And when they come up with that remedy, generally the dosing is small amounts. You may have one dose a week or every few days or once a month. And it's supposed to just reset that. Now, sometimes they get it right, and you have phenomenal results. Sometimes they don't get it right and they have to go in and have it adjusted a little bit, or sometimes it might work for a little while, just like anything else, but then it unearths other imbalances. But classic homeopaths, they spend a long time every visit to figure things out. I had experience with the first time with classic homeopathy when my oldest son was about, he was almost five. So he basically was still wetting the bed, and he was still having accidents during the day periodically, but basically wetting the bed. It was like he just couldn't wake up. So somebody had suggested try this classic homeopath. And so we went to this homeopath, and he starts asking these questions, and I'm in there, and he's kind of playing with my son as he's asking me questions, asking him questions. He made it really fun. He was a really, really good, he's an MD too. He's a really good doctor. And came up with, after all this, a remedy for him. And one of the things was, does he like eggplant or not? That's why that came up. And there were a few other things that were real classic for this formula that he gave him, that were classic symptoms that he had displayed. And we started him on the remedy, and within a couple of weeks, he stopped wetting his bed. So I think that was pretty good. And then the other experience I had with it, with me playing classic homeopath, is when he was in about 7th grade or 6th grade, my younger son was having these like fears of dying. And he would come home every day and say, somebody banged me in the temple. And I read online that if you bang in the temple, there's not a lot of bone there protecting, and it can hurt the brain, and you could die several hours later. Am I going to be okay? And he was worried, and to the point where he would be afraid to go to sleep at night. He'd want somebody with him, and he was afraid he wasn't going to wake up. He was also experiencing at the same time some stomach problems, some stomach aches. And so I thought, there's a lot of stuff going on here. So I started to look it up in the homeopathic repertoire. And I came up with something that really described him to the T, in addition to whatever other symptoms he was having. But one was the stomach aches and the fear of dying, irrational fear of dying. And so I said, honey, I can't, you're going to be so excited. I found this exact formula for you. Read this. Does this sound like you? And he read, he goes, yeah, that sounds just like me. I said, so we're going to give you a dose of this, and we're going to wait a week and see how it goes. And we may have to give you a second dose. We may not have to. And he took it, and who knows, it might have been psychosomatic, right? He thought it was going to work, the placebo effect. But Derry gradually got better, and within a couple of weeks, it was different. It was completely different. And that was towards the end of the year of school, his sixth grade year of school. By the next year came, it was gone. It was gone. But it was so bad before that he would call up during the day, like go to the nurse's office and say, this happened, am I going to die? This happened, am I going to die? Right? It was this irrational fear of dying. So whether the homeopathy worked or not, it might have worked as a placebo, but we'll give it the benefit of the doubt. So there's the classic and the formulas. The formulas would be where there's several of the homeopathics that, say, have some affinity towards back pain. So it would be put together into back pain. So there might be 5 or 6 or 7, sometimes even 10 different remedies in there. And they're hit or miss, but the thing is, because there's a lot of different remedies on there, the chances of you hitting it with somebody is pretty good. May not be as deep, it may not be as quick acting, but there's oftentimes some really good response. The beauty of it versus taking some kind of medication or even an herb in excess is that there's no side effects. So it either doesn't work or it does. I've had quite a bit of experience using the formulas, again, with my kids, whenever they've had, you know, the beginning of what might have been an ear infection, but they never actually got it because we nipped it in the bud. I had a set of homeopathics that I bought, which was all these liquid spray homeopathics. And my kids would get in the habit of, anytime they felt like, oh, I have a little whatever, I'll go find a homeopathic for that. And then I'd muscle test them for it to see if it was right. If their friends were over, they'd go, oh, let's go see if there's a homeopathic for that. So it's quite interesting to raise your kids that way. But I remember one time my neighbor's son was coughing like crazy. I said, well, I have a homeopathic you can try. She goes, I don't want to give him cough medicine and make him drowsy. I said, well, try this. And it worked within like half an hour. It can be very, very helpful. And sometimes it doesn't do anything. And it doesn't mean that the approach of homeopathy doesn't work. What it means is that you just didn't get the right remedy. And it is an art. And there are a number of books available over the counter that people can use to just kind of get a guess at the family. Like there's some family homeopathy books out there. So the picture you see, the top ones are the formulas and the bottom ones are the very specifics. One last thing I want to say about it is about dosing. And you'll see different numbers and letters on the bottle. So you might see a 10X, a 30C, a 300C, a 10M, 100M. And those are Roman numerals to tell you how much it was succussed, which is the way that it's diluted down, and how much the potency is. And now the potency is interesting because the more diluted it is, the more specific it is. So if you're doing a general formula, you might be using 30X, which means that it was diluted by a factor of 10, 30 times. Whereas if it says 30C, it means it was diluted by a factor of 30, by a factor of 100, 30 times. Okay, so it gets very, very dilute very, very quickly. And you can see there's a picture, if you bring that up, it shows you in the diagram exactly how they do that, if you want to remember it. So the dosing, if somebody is a classic homeopath, they're going to be using the higher doses, the higher C's and the M's. For some of these over-the-counter things, like if you hurt yourself, how many people have taken arnica? Everybody knows about arnica. You hurt yourself, you take arnica. Bees, like bee stings, you take apis. And there's various ones that are well known. Well, you usually will take those in the 30X to 100X dosages versus the C's and the M's are usually more classics. And there are some exceptions to that. So it's a fascinating study, a fascinating science. If you want to get really good at it and be into classic homeopathy, then there's a lot of studying that you need to do. And there are some online programs. I have a program that used to work on my old computer. I haven't installed it on my new computer because it's on little disks that don't fit into the new computers anymore. So I've got this great software, but I haven't been able to install it and use it on the new computer. As far as resources, I think for any of the equipment that I mentioned, the Scanar or the Dove, best way to look is to just Google it and look it up. A friend of mine, his name is David Gawain, G-A-W-A-I-N, and he's a distributor for the Scanar and the lasers, and he knows a lot about it, and I interviewed him. This is Dr. Rita Marie Scalzo, and this has been the Bioenergetics module. Thank you. Bye-bye.